Warning, the following episode of Warcides Uncensored Mind contains explicit language and adult content. The thoughts and opinions stated on the show are reflective of A.J. Orsini and his guests exclusively. But seriously, guys, the show is called Uncensored. If you got a problem with bad language, I really don't give a shit.
Hey guys, tonight here on Orsini's Uncensored Mind, I'm going to hit you guys with one of the most inspirational stories that you're going to hear. There is a particular family that has been a fan of mine since the very beginning of my career. I have kept tabs with them. We have grown to become great friends, and I had a chance right here on the show, episode 109, to sit down with them and talk all things pro wrestling, talk their connection to me and my past, and of course we're going to talk to their son Jason, who was diagnosed with Duchenne muscular dystrophy when he was a child. We're going to talk about the trials and tribulations of living with that and still being one of the most charismatic wrestling fans of all time. We're going to talk to the Torres family. We're going to talk pro wrestling. And of course, this is Orsini's Uncensored Mind.
Welcome to Orsini's Uncensored Mind, and now your host, A.J. Orsini.
How the hell is everybody out there? This is your boy, your man, your Jack's old brother from another mother. This is your host of Orsini's Uncensored Mind. This is A.J. Orsini, and I am here once again to bequeath onto all of you episode 109. We are 1 week away from our two-year anniversary. And I gotta tell you right now, folks, I'm a little emotional about it. I'm a little in my feelings about it. But this is going to be a good week for me as opposed to the last few weeks. Update on some of those situations, by the way. My car situation has been fixed. The car itself is not fixed, but the situation is fixed. We're waiting for some parts to come in. Everything's going to be okay. They made me at fault for the accident. Some rule about, you know, because I was next to the curb. I was technically in a parking spot. The other car was on the road. They have the right of way. Blase, blase, blah. I'm the one that got hit, but I'm the one who's at fault for whatever reason. But it's fine. No legal action on the other side. Car's going to get fixed. The car wasn't that banged up to begin with, but it does need a little TLC. It does need a little T-Boz, a little left eye, a little chili in its life. And we need to get that done with the shop. Soon we will. So that's that. On the other end, a lot of people have been hitting me up. Thank you, by the way, for that and trying to check up on me and what's been going on with my my little buddy friend. And good news, he's recovering. Believe it or not, three-story fall, and his kid's still he's still kicking. He has they put him in an induced coma to let his body heal and rest and all that stuff, and they were pumping him full of medicines and all kinds of stuff, and he is improving. He's awake. He is coherent. He has displayed moments of motor function with the squeezing and all that stuff. They've been testing him. It doesn't seem to have affected his memory or anything with his brain. He has people have been coming to visit, and he's been remembering people and trying to carry conversations. He wasn't much of a conversationalist before the accident, but he seems to be okay. So that's good news on that end. I don't know if you can hear in my voice, but my spirits are a little different this week. And so much, not just good news on that end with my friend and my car, but what a pro wrestling week it's been. I would love to sit here right now and go over everything that happened, but I'm going to save that. I'm going to save that for next week. I'm going to save that. That's going to be our two-year anniversary topics and shows. We're going to talk about this Wednesday Night War. We're going to talk about this weekly whole thing with the whole pro wrestling thing all freaking week. Hopefully by next week, it'll be the end of week two, we'll have a lot more to discuss and a lot more to digest. I don't want to talk just about the one sampling. Everyone's doing it. Everyone's jumping on board. I want to give that time to breathe and develop before I actually get into all that. So we're going to save that for next week. But as for this week, as for tonight, I had a chance to do something I have been trying to do for years. I have a fan who was also, who you know, I keep saying fan because that's how we met, but he's more of a friend at this point. He really is. His name is Jose Torres. He's a good guy, great family man. I mean, he's a role model. He really is. He's a site of inspiration. He always has been. Not just for me, but a lot of other professional wrestlers that have come up around me. And I've always wanted him on the show. I've wanted him on the show just to tell his story and to give me some insight. Let me learn a little something about his situation. And he has a son who he's older now, maybe like late teens, early 20s, I believe. I did not get a chance to ask. I completely spaced on that because I was so wrapped up in what we were doing. But he's in college, so he's got to be at least 19, 20 years old at this point. But I've known him since 2012. I've known the family since 2012. And he was diagnosed with Duchenne muscular dystrophy. It's a disease that attacks the muscles in the body and even affects the heart to a degree. You'll hear more about that during the course of this upcoming interview. So I got a chance to sit in their home, beautiful home, by the way, with a beautiful family, and just talk pro wrestling and talk about, because they love pro wrestling in that house, and talk pro wrestling and talk my relationship with Jason and Jose over the years. And more importantly, we talk a little bit about the disease that he has and how has it affected the family as a whole. And they have an upcoming event. The MDA, the Muscular Dystrophy Association, has a walk that will be taking place here in New York in Queens, October 19th. We give all that information here in the interview. So I just want to put that out there. I didn't want to do my intro with them because for some reason, I know, I understand the reason, but I've been told by a few people that my intro and the way that my voice changes and I put on my radio voice sometimes can intimidate people who don't normally do radio or don't normally, they feel like it's real. You know, it's the red light going on and it makes people nervous and it makes people uncomfortable. And I wanted them to feel like it's a regular conversation. So you'll notice when this thing starts, it starts like a regular conversation. And that's what I was going for. So I wanted them to be comfortable. So that's the deal here. It's the interview with the Torres family. This is a very inspirational story. It's a very emotional story. Get the Kleenex out. This is a very... It's a very rough ride here, especially if you're a parent and you either deal with these circumstances or you've been fortunate like me to not have to deal with these circumstances. If you have nephews or nieces or kids of your own, you're going to feel this story, and I want you to know that this is not a negative story and it's not a sad story. It's actually a story of a victory here, triumph, overcoming the odds here. This is a story that I feel like I wanted to tell for a long time, and I'm glad I finally got the chance. So, once again, thank you to the Torres family for having me over and allowing me to do this. I know it must not have been the easiest to relive some of these memories and to have these discussions, but it's a very lighthearted conversation. It does get emotional, but I promise you, I try to keep this as light as possible and hopefully as educational as possible. Maybe you guys can learn from this and spread this information around, and there it is. So here's my interview with the Torres family. When this is over, you'll hear the usual ending, and I will see you guys next week. Please pay attention to the social media to find out all the ins and outs, what's really happening, what's really going down for the two-year anniversary show for next week. As of right now, I am going live on Facebook. I do know that for on Friday, the actual day of October 11th. And so that's what we're doing with that, as far as I know right now. Who's going to be on the show, what we're doing, what method other than Facebook Live will we be using, phone calls, all that stuff. I will be letting you know up to the minute on social media. And until then, I'll see you next week, and enjoy the interview here. I'm telling you, this is a good one. You guys are going to enjoy it. And so enjoy that. There you go. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for sharing. And, of course, thank you for enjoying. I will see you guys next week when we go live, baby. Hey, guys. AJ Orsini here, and I am the host of Pro Wrestling's number one podcast, Orsini's Uncensored Mind. How do I know I'm number one? Just going to have to take my word on that. I'm Honest Joe here. I would not lie to you, and I'm telling you, 25 countries around the world here. Don't lie. I've been heard on every platform you can think of. I'm on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, CastBox, Google Play Music, Listen Notes, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. You can catch me on all social media platforms, and you can catch new episodes of Orsini's Uncensored Mind every Saturday, 9 p.m. That's right, folks. Number one in pro wrestling. You have to believe me. I am a voice on the internet. Hey guys, this is AG Orsini. I am once again here with a new episode of Orsini's Uncensored Mind. I believe this is 109. I always wait for the last second to double check to confirm myself, but this is episode 109. We are 1 week away from my live episode. I told you guys I was going to be going live for my 2-year anniversary show. That is still the plan. And after I'm done with this interview later on today, we're going to finalize all the information on that. So keep your eye on the social media page for that. And I know that this time I will be at home. I'm not going to New Jersey. I have the equipment to be live at my house, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. We're going to have guests. We're going to have a good time. We're going to have a lot of stuff going on for the second 2-year anniversary. But that is information for another day. Keep your eye on social media for that. As far as tonight's episode, ladies and gentlemen, as I told you in the precursor here, today is a very special episode for me because for many, 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 many years, I have been in the doldrums of this industry. I have been traveling the road, speaking to all the who's who. Yes, I did get it right. It's episode 109. See, I got to go through the folder sometime to remind myself. But I have been traveling all around the country, being in this weird and crazy world of pro wrestling. And I have had the benefit of meeting a lot of people in my travels. I have met all kinds of people from all around the country when it comes to this game. And one family in particular has always stuck out to me because they have been friends and fans of mine since the very, very, very beginning when I had zero skill. They still enjoyed my work for some crazy reason. And I'm hoping along the way that I have improved enough to make them actual proud fans of mine now. But they have been with me through thick and thin from the very beginning, no matter what company I've been to or who I've worked with. And, of course, I've mentioned you guys on the show a few times. I use you guys kind of like as a barometer when it comes to my arguing with fans online. But I'm here with the Torres family. I'm here with Jose. I'm here with Magdalene. I'm here with Jason. They have been fans of mine, and I fans of them. And you'll know why as this show continues on. For a long, long time. First of all, guys, thanks for inviting me into your home. I'm doing this interview in their home. Jason, how you doing, buddy?
Good.
You doing good today?
Yeah.
You feeling good? Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
If. Magdalia, thank you for inviting me into your home for this interview today.
Thank you for coming.
And Jose, my main man, the main man over here,
thank
Jose.
You.
How
thank
you doing?
Thank you for asking us to do the interview.
No problem. You guys got to get closer. As I always tell people who are guests on my show, I need you to make like to my microphones, not love. Get so close, you want to kiss it, but you're not just there yet. That's what I always tell people so that we're nice and clear here on the audio. And today is a special day for me in particular because you guys have literally supported me my entire career. And as soon as I started this show, about 2 years ago, you were actually one of the first ones I hit up about at some point being on the show. And we've never really had a chance to connect because I always thought to myself, if I had a platform to give back to any of the people that have ever supported me, I guess this would be it. This would be a good way to do that. So I've had friends on the show before just as like, you know, roundtable guests to discuss wrestling and stuff like that. But today, especially because we have a particular cause that we're here to speak about today, there's a walk that you guys have coming up. And we'll get more into it as we progress later on. But just really quickly, give us a little detail on this event that you guys have coming up on October 19th.
Okay, so it is the MDA Muscle Walk. And we have been participating in this walk since 2005.
There you go.
It was just shortly after Jason was diagnosed with Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And so every year we form a team to raise funds in support of the Muscular Dystrophy Association to hopefully find a cure one day. And it's not only because of Jason, but because of my nephews. I also have 3 nephews with muscular dystrophy. We just recently lost one a few months ago. And my cousin, who we lost 2 years ago. So it's a really, really, you know, important cause to our family.
Absolutely. And I apologize. I know that bringing this up so soon is is a tough Band-Aid to remove, and I apologize for putting you guys in this position during this interview, but I spoke with you, Jose, and we've had the chance to discuss this back and forth, that you guys have been doing this walk for a long time, and I got a chance to meet you guys in about 2012. And so it's been a few years now, and every year you guys have always invited me to be a part of things, and the walk always, and it's not an excuse, but the walk always seemed to land like either my first day of class, or I had a show, or whatever the case may be. This was the year. I was like, okay, this is the year I'm going to do something. I'm going to try to contribute to this in some way. So I apologize for putting you guys in a pretty uncomfortable position, but I mean well. We're going to try to get some awareness on this situation so that other families who feel the way that you guys feel right now can have an outlet for themselves as well to discuss and open up conversation about this. Jason, you and I first met. We're going to get back to all that stuff, but let's talk a little bit of the origins here. You and I first met 7 years ago, 2012, buddy.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Ludus coming up those long, dreary steps?
Yes, I do.
talk to me. See, what I love about my show is I get to have people on here and discuss me. Talk about me for a second. What was your first impression of me when you first got a chance to say? Because I think your first impression is I was in the ring, right? I was doing my ring announcing thing. So what was your first impression of me when you first met me?
Well, you didn't seem as tired as most ring announcers. I think you kind of had
a little bit more energy.
Yeah,
definitely. I was very, because that was I was. I don't know if I ever told you this story, but I wasn't supposed to be the ring announcer.
Oh.
What ended up happening with that is, I was a wrestler myself, and then I had stopped. The injuries had piled up, so I was like, okay, time out. I'm not really feeling all these hospital bills. So I stopped. Two guys that you guys might know, I know that you know for sure, Brandon Lewis and another guy named Pete Sin, who used to run 2KW Pro, they got hooked up with Joel over at the Ludus and Fighting Spirit Wrestling, and they were doing their wrestling thing, and they were doing whatever they were doing. And Verizon Wireless, the Verizon Network had a channel called... Soy Latino TV. There it is. Soy Latino TV.
Yes, I remember that.
And they were going to do a television show, 1 hour program for Fighting Spirit Wrestling, and they wanted a host. And my name came up. So when I got the job, my job was to host. They had another guy in mind for the ring announcing. I'm not sure it was Larry, but it was Larry-esque. They wanted a guy like Larry Legend to come in and do the whole deal. And of course, no show. And I happened to be in the building with a suit on because I was filming for the TV show. And they asked me, do you mind going up there, you know, just for tonight, just to see how it goes, if you mind being the ring announcer. And as you well know, that job never went away. I was a ring announcer for many companies after that. For a long time until eventually I had to stop again. But that was your first time seeing me, in the ring as the ring announcer. Was I approachable at this show?
Yeah, you were very approachable.
You're
the same way that you are now, very approachable. See,
okay, I just wanted to, if there's anything negative to say, now is the time to say no. No, but I always remember what stuck out to me because the facility we were in was very small, very tight, compact. You guys remember that building?
Yes.
We used to call it the closet. It was a closet. And it was like one stairway up, one stairway down. In case of a fire, we're pretty much all dead. Because not only is there one way out, everything's made of asbestos. That place was going to go up like a match. But we had a lot of fun in that building. We had a very intimate fan base. And you guys were always there. And what always stuck out to me was how often you were there. Considering Jason is has the wheelchair,
right.
So in that particular location, it's not like we have elevator service. So you told me a story online, and I would love for you to share that on the show. LAX, or formerly LAX,
yes,
Proud and Powerful,
yes,
a little story about them that they used to assist you. How'd that work out?
I remember when we approached the stairs, I was like, holy
yeah,
shit.
Because this is,
it's like, there's no elevator.
Yeah.
Immediately, Angel came. You guys need any help? I'm like, sure. Him and Santana came. They picked him up in the chair, up the stairs. No problem. Same thing when the show finished. The same thing coming down the stairs. It was like that stuck out with me the most.
Yeah,
with those guys. And since then, I've been there. You know, Facebook.
It was a bonus that they knew how to wrestle when you got up there, right?
Yes.
You got up there, and you were like, oh my god, they're also really good in the ring.
That too, but it was. Not that does it's the stuff, the little things like that, mm-hmm. that stick with me in mind. I always remember.
Right. Yeah.
And with Chris Cage, who's also there.
Right.
Was talking to him.
The current BWF Cruiserweight yes. champ. Yes.
There was a bunch of other people too that were really cool with him. I mean, yeah. Mikey Mittens, Jesus Mittens. Christ, yeah. sitting next to him, them two were chatting.
The
it up.
Real celebrity here in yes. New York City.
But but that's what we saw. Even when we yeah. went to the Rockaway show, they did the same thing. It was a little mm-hmm. step. You need any help?
Yeah.
Sure, no problem. They pulled him over the hump, took him to where we were sitting at, and talked to him for a while. Then they left and did their thing in the ring. I mean, they were great. I mean, from that day, I was big fans of them.
You mentioned, I asked you guys when I came in, when's the last time you've actually been to a show? Because in those earlier years that I knew you guys, I saw you at almost every show. And then little by little, it just got more and more complicated along the way. I think I saw you at the handball court a few times for House of Glory over there where they used to do shows like that. Talk to me a little bit when it comes to the travel, when it comes to getting around for situations like that. How difficult is that?
It's a little difficult sometimes, especially if you're going to like go to an event. We have to ask for handicap accessibility, or first thing, is there any way to get inside?
Right, yeah.
But there's handicap accessibility. If there's not, then that's where we're kind of screwed.
Right.
Also, like, we never been to a WWE show with the kids.
Okay.
And that's even a hassle. You got to call. Then you have to make sure they have seats, and then...
Because you need the ADA seating. You yeah, need to make sure that they're... Because Barclays sometimes has elevators, but they don't work.
And yeah, like, it can be a real pain in the ass. But, you know, we'll still watch it at home and enjoy it, but I would one day would love to take them to see a real show right. like that they can enjoy it.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's one of the reasons. Like I love bringing that topic up with you guys because you guys don't talk about it; you guys live it. And there's a lot of situations, like for instance, when we were running 2KW, where we kept stuff like that in mind because I would think of situations like that where right. it's like some of my. I don't know if you guys had a chance. I did an episode where an episode on the show before WrestleMania. Where I was telling the story, my WrestleMania story, what WrestleMania means to me, and I took it as an opportunity to tell or have others who are in similar situations to tell their story of WrestleMania or their pro wrestling story, because for them, like, my WrestleMania story is, I don't want to go to that show because I don't like this person. Whereas there are people who genuinely want to go and either physically can't or the building doesn't physically allow it. So I think this is a conversation, and I will be more expansive on this in the future, but I think this is definitely a topic that needs to be raised, not just by the WWE, but I think pro wrestling countries across the board right. here about building accessibility, because a lot of promoters try to get the facilities they can afford,
right.
but they don't understand that by doing that, you may be undercutting your bottom line altogether, because there is right. an entire fan base who may not have physical accessibility to your building, thus hitting your sales. It's a big argument. It's an up and down thing. But I think the more conversation that we have about it, the better, so that people can open up that rapport and start maybe even getting the buildings themselves involved and making their facilities overall more accessible, not just for wrestling shows, but to just genuinely have yeah. accessibility, because I'm sure there's many other things other than wrestling shows that you guys have yes. to like – second guess or keep in mind when it comes to these situations. Mag, in your personal experience with the, once he's in the building, right? Now let's he's in the building, he's attending these shows as mom. When you see your son and enjoying all this great action, do you mentally get a break from all this and you just like explain to me that experience of seeing your son just live this life?
I mean, whenever he has the opportunity just to, for lack of a better word, of being like normal, it's a great opportunity because it's a way of kind of erasing what sometimes just sticks out is like his wheelchair. And so just having those opportunities, it's amazing because, I mean, that's all a parent ever wants to see is just their child just enjoying life. And, you know, when whether it's wrestling or whatever the case may be, you know, it really brings a lot of joy just to see that he's, you know, living in the moment. And also the people, you know, treating him, you know, with great compassion. And I see, you know, it's genuine, like, affection. It's not mm-hmm. phony. And so for me, like, that, you know, that's really important to me as his mom, and just getting him to see, you know, and experiencing that.
Jason, did you ever feel like when you were at these shows that you got a break, where you just got a chance to finally just be full Jason, screaming, yeah, booing, heckling?
Yeah.
You never heckled me, though. I'll give you credit.
No, I didn't.
You never gave me any hell. As a ring announcer, I have to deal with a lot of that. But my man Jason here always kept it. He always rooted for the baby face announcers like myself. Are there any particular moments that stick out, some of your favorite? It doesn't have to be anything for me or the Ludus, just in general, that you, any favorite moments that stand out for you at wrestling shows you attended? Are there any matches or talents that you saw that kind of stuck out to you?
Well, I guess the fan base that just heckling the
The fans themselves.
Or like heckling the referee.
When they go, one, two, oh, you effed up. You after. Like I said, though, you never heck with me. I'm going to see, now I know to stay away from referee. I can't. I got to stay away from that one. But do you still, like, because you have a pretty, you had a pretty, I think one of the good things about the Ludus is because of it was so intimate, you guys got a chance to really meet, like, us, as opposed to just, like, you know, here's this boombastic character, like, it was a lot like the end of ECW shows where the matches would be over, but then we have to file everyone out so everyone's in the same room together, and you kind of lose that. Were there anybody from that old group that you remember me from that kind of stood out talent-wise? It was a long time ago.
I'm trying to remember.
Remember, we had the Funky Monkey, we had the Surfer guy. I'm waiting for the Funky Monkey to come back. I can't wait for that to happen. I've called it a few times now. Someone's going to turn on somebody, right? Jason Ortiz and Santana. Someone's going to turn on somebody. So nobody stuck out that much? What about the Hog Show? Did you ever have fun at those Hog Shows?
They were kind of, it was different than how it is on TV.
Yes.
They were better.
Yes, they were better.
True.
Way better.
Independent wrestling fans here. Yeah, there was a couple of shows I remember. I'll say this about House of Glory, and especially during my time there with House of Glory, because I was with them for 4 years. Oof, 4 years. I was with them for forever, but what I loved about House of Glory's mentality as opposed to when we were at Fighting Spirit Wrestling, one of the things I loved about House of Glory's mentality is they wanted to do everything big. So did Fighting Spirit Wrestling, but Fighting Spirit Wrestling, like, they wanted everything to do big, but they also kind of wanted everybody to be underneath a certain amount of people or the banner. Right. House of Glory didn't really care. They were like, hey, if you can get over, dude, just get over.
They were like more ECW-ish.
Right. It was the reason they took me off of ring announcing, because of my personality and stuff. Right. They were like, we would probably rather have you tell the stories than to go into the ring. And so, and they already had access to David Adams, who was an amazing announcer. So they said, okay, well, we'll have Dave do that, and then you sit ringside, and then you'll call the matches. I'm like, great. And at first, they wanted me to Joey Styles, which is like, that's the verb now. When you're by yourself, you're Joey Stylesing it. He's like, yeah, we need you to be our Joey Styles. But I had a different idea, and I was like, I could do it, but I, you know, but their shows run really long, 4 hours, whatever the case may be. So I'd like a partner. Because I don't know if I can do that energy for 4 straight hours. So that's when they agreed to hire Brandon.
Right.
So I kind of remember Brandon got me into the first one, and then I got Brandon into the other. So now we're square. Now we're even.
And then you and Brandon went against each other.
And well, that's a different story.
That.
Okay. All right.
That's another promotion.
I did tap him in Texas. This is true. No, but we did. We did a lot of crazy stuff. As a fan for you, Jose, how far back does wrestling go for you?
Wow, Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior.
Hogan. You must have loved that Miz segment the other day then. Oh, with Hogan and Flair sitting there. One more match.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, are you serious? They were combined 140 years old and you want
wheelchair
the
match.
The witch.
dressed as the Ultimate Warrior.
One time I dressed as the Ultimate Warrior.
What was that for Halloween? Christmas. No. Christmas.
My sister, I got drunk and I thought I was Ultimate Warrior, wrestling my brother in law. So they got me the whole T-shirt.
Did you do the whole?
Yes, I did. Yes.
There are pictures.
There are pictures of me.
She wants to make sure it's on the record that there are photos of this.
There are pictures of me dressed up like him.
Did you do the face paint?
I had the mask.
The mask, okay.
And the tassels. The tassels. And everything.
He was prepared. Did you make the tassels?
No, they actually bought it for me for Christmas.
Oh, okay, I get it. Came with all that. You felt the need at that point. It's like, okay, I kind
of
have to.
Yeah, Ultimate Warrior is one of my favorites back then.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, the power.
Tito Santana, Chief Jay Strumble, you know, around that
absolutely,
era.
Absolutely, absolutely. Do you, as members of the Hispanic community, right, do you guys feel... Because you brought up Tito Santana, who was like, back in the 80s and the 90s when they used to have, quote unquote, and I'm using air quotes, ethnic characters right there, they would promote them like for that group, you know? And now, like on the WWE, since it's so like worldwide now and so global, they don't really, you go to the countries, they'll main event them. Like it's the one time like Sheamus is in every Ireland main event and like Shinsuke is in every Japan main event. Like so it's like when they come to Long Island and Zack Ryder all of a sudden winds up on Raw for no reason.
Zack Ryder and
on a representation level, do you guys feel like, because we hear a lot about Mexico. So like when you see Santana or Ortiz out there repping that Puerto Rican flag.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. But do you feel there's enough representation to that? Like people say, well, he's a Latino. Okay, but there's like many subgenres.
A lot more representation of Latinos.
Yeah, because there's a lot of talent out there. And I'm not going to front. I've had the benefit on my end on being quote-unquote ethnic because there's not a lot of announcers or interviewers that are ethnic with my skill set. So I've gotten a few jobs ahead of some other gringos that I'm sure because of just my, quote-unquote exotic look or whatever the case may be. So I've benefited a little bit of it, but I know personally that when Santana or Ortiz train, you know, they tell people like, if you're going to do this, do it right because there's not many of us. So when you get there, when you get to a position where you're going to have a more high-profile look, be ready because if we're going to kick this door down, we need talent to come through that door, not just people who want to just be there because the money is there for them or whatever the case may be. You guys still watch – well, now, after this week – there's so many options for you now to watch pro wrestling. Do you guys pick and choose?
The whole week, even today.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't do my episode. Even if I didn't do this interview, I probably wouldn't have been able to do it till today because I wanted to see how the debut of a SmackDown on Fox went with that 5-second squash, which is another conversation for another for next week. Yeah, I'm going to be pretty pissed off in next week's episode.
Eyes are rolling here. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ.
But it's good to see you guys are still, even though physically being there is a little difficult for you guys, that you still find entertainment in it. You and pro wrestling, Meg. I mean, is this something that you married into? Is that?
I mean, actually, I used to watch wrestling with my grandmother, believe it or not.
Okay. No, I believe. So, I believe there has. I always believe there's a little bit.
She was more of the old school. She didn't like once they started fighting in jeans. She's like, what is this?
She likes the trunks. Yeah, that's not gear. You see, I tell people all the time. I'm glad you said it on the air right here. Get your gear together, baby. Mm-hmm. Gotta have the look, right, Jason? You gotta have the look.
Not,
look like,
not just jeans.
That's right, Dean Ambrose. We're looking at you. I'm glad he switched it up back to the tights. That was fun to see over in Japan. Jose, you've been a fan for a long time. You have the one benefit that I don't have, and that's your children love wrestling right along with you.
Yeah.
My son detests wrestling. Oh, it makes him physically upset. Whenever he walks into a room and I have it on, he does the eye roll and he just goes to the other room. He likes a few things about wrestling. For instance, like No Way Jose's music. If he hears that, no way, Jose, no way. Exactly. No, that's what he said that in the car. Actually, my son goes, "Whose house are we going to?" I said, "Jose." He goes, "Oh, like No Way Jose." I was like, "Yes, something like that." Apparently, because now he's dressing up like the Ultimate Warrior and then marching around. So it's kind of like No Way Jose. He enjoys No Way Jose. Ah, he's fine. He enjoys No Way Jose's music. He enjoys Shinsuke's original song. He doesn't like the new one with the rap.
No.
The original one with the bam, bam, bam. My son used to be in the living room like that. And then the match was starting, he would leave. Because he's not really big on it. Oh, Bray Wyatt, yes. What, the, has he seen the Fiend stuff just yet? Okay. What do you think about the Fiend thing?
A big wrestling fan.
Big Noah, wrestling fan, one. Right?
Oh, yeah, he has.
After this piece of business, brother, we'll go ahead and take a look at that.
Since
yeah, first, you spoke to me. You said he's interested in following this.
Yeah.
Right?
His first figure was a CM Punk figure.
Oh, there you
we
go.
We bought him in Delaware.
Okay.
And he still has him.
Nice, nice.
And since then, he's been hooked on wrestling.
I'm telling you, I could do a full 60 minutes on what you should and shouldn't do trying to be a professional wrestler.
He's
still very young. Yeah, no, listen, I did all the stuff that he did. If he hasn't brought you to the hospital yet, then he hasn't been that bad yet. If my mom was sitting here right now, she'd be rolling her eyes because the stuff that I did to my body before I got to the school, forget it. The safest, I make the joke all the time, and a few of the guys have made the joke on the show, where it's like, by the time we got to a ring, we were like, this is a pillow compared to where we were.
Right.
I mean, we were backyarding. We were jumping off of stuff. We were all kinds of stuff. And we were landing the pads in the park and the concrete, stuff like that. By the time we got to the ring, it was like, oh, this is, what is this? Nothing. This is nothing. So the bumps we were taking in the park were pillow soft. So we were taking brain busters, neck drops, all this stuff in the ring. And people were like, ay, chimama, because you're supposed to build to that. Like, but we already knew what we were doing. We were just doing it in bad locations.
Right.
Once they put us in the ring and gave us real gear, then it became what we're becoming, I guess. You see your boys on TV now this week. All that happens. I remember Ortiz was always kind of a workhorse, but Santana was always the reckless one. Now you can't tell when you look at him because he's safe as hell. But before, oh, my God. Everything in the book. Yeah, what movie did you just come up with? I'll take it. I don't know what it is. And then he broke a whole bunch of things, and now he's like, hey, you know, I'm going to take it easy now. So that's why I told you when mentioning him and possibly going to school and stuff, I said, hey, if he wants to be a wrestler, man, that's cool stuff, but you got to be ready for a lonely life, my friend. Mm-hmm. Lonely life. I've been very I say it all the time on the show. I will never be a WWE superstar, and the reason for that is because I don't want to sacrifice what it takes to become a WWE superstar.
Right.
You can't have both. You can either be a WWE superstar or you get to have this. And if I would have gotten to the WWE before this, it would have been different. But now that I have a family, I don't think I'm that excited to really let it go, which is why I'm rooting for an AEW or a Beyond Wrestling or anything like that, because that, you know, lesser schedule, better money. So we'll see where my career goes. But I wish him the best of luck because this is a very lonely life.
He picks up the moves fast.
Yeah, that's good. It's a good thing to have that kind of memory.
It's scary because he had put me in the freaking arm lock before, and it hurts.
I can vouch.
He said, "Dad, let me try this," and me like a big dummy
before too.
What? He did
he's done it to me too.
Oh, he's done it to you too. He showed no mercy. He did it to you. Nah, he's a good kid though. He's a good kid. He got the idea we were talking about.
I know.
Oh, man. How about you, Jason? Did you ever have dreams of grandeur under the hot lights?
I don't think. I don't think actually going. Not really.
Just a fan, just an observer, right? You appreciate the action for what it is?
Probably, like, I would say, probably backstage stuff would be.
There you go. We can have Jason work the gorilla position. For anyone who has an opening in the back, he'll let the wrestlers know their cue, right? Just like, hey, here's your music. Go ahead. You go out next. That's what she used to do for us. My wife, she used to do the music and the gorilla stuff for 2KW because we needed someone to work the music, and she knows my equipment, so she was a natural fit. But the time cues work in hand with the gorilla position. They have to know, you know, tell the wrestlers this is your cue. Da-da-da. So when no one was doing it for her, she ended up just doing it herself. So we ended up just paying her more, I guess, and then just letting her do it. It's okay. Plus, my wife likes being the boss. So she's just like, she holds the folder and she's like, okay, you guys are here and then you guys get blah, blah, blah. She did the same thing in Texas. In Texas, she filmed my whole show pregnant.
Oh, wow.
She was one of the camera women for the show. She can't be stopped, this one. She's a bullet. I don't accomplish half of the stuff that I have in my career because even for the times that I've traveled, like in the beginning of my wrestling career, I had a driver's license, no car. So we were pooling money together, renting cars, going up to Maine, going up to New Hampshire. We drove to Texas twice. In minivans. We loaded up two minivans, drove talent from here to Texas back, and then the last one we flew.
I still remember that, Red River Pro.
Yes, Red River Pro. Oh my God, I haven't spoken those words in a minute. But yeah, it was an attempt. You know, it was a good deal. I thought we had a good shot at doing some stuff, and the owner got caught up in money issues, so ended up going nowhere. But at least we got the exposure from that, because yeah. I have people who download my show from Texas to this day from meeting us down there. So.
Nice.
So who knows, right? So the whole pro wrestling game's been working well for all of us, apparently. And I'm going to try to speak some more to some people about that whole accessibility thing, and I'll keep you guys up to date on that. Because okay. I've been talking about it for a while, but to have – I needed this. I needed some testimonial stuff here about that. Let's talk a little bit about Jason and his situation. You stated earlier that he was diagnosed at what age was he diagnosed?
Four.
Four. So what led you guys to get him examined in the first place? What were the signs you were seeing?
Well, there were things like delayed speech when he was younger. Also, when he was about 2-3, he still wasn't running. But, you know, doctors said, you know, kids develop differently. But really what prompted us to go get him examined was my cousin, whose son also it was a little older than Jason, had already been diagnosed. And she was like, Migdalia, not for nothing, but Jason walks just like James used to walk.
Right.
And so, you know, I kind of already knew, but didn't want to make it real, you know?
Yeah.
And so I said, you know what, let me go. I asked his pediatrician if he can do some blood tests. And so when the blood test came back, like I still remember the day that I got the phone call. And, you know, they said his CPK level was extremely high, that he would need to go and get a muscle biopsy. Because already, because of the family history, they already suspected that it could be Duchenne muscular dystrophy. But, you know, just to make sure, so we had to go and get his muscle biopsy done. And when the biopsy came back, it came back that it positive for Duchenne muscular dystrophy.
And what was the conversation like after that? Was it a planning thing? Was it a cure conversation? Yeah. Like, how did that go after?
Yeah, so, after that, it was just having to take him to a neurologist. Like, that was the first thing that we had to do. And then it was the neurologist, actually, who recommended us to go to the Muscular Dystrophy Association. And then we registered with the Muscular Dystrophy Association. And then a couple of months after that, that was when the first walk. And so that's...
So did you guys start that first walk, or were you joining someone else?
We were joining. It was actually the second year that the Muscular Dystrophy Association had done it. And so we, you know, I got the... You know, the letter in the mail, I said, you know, we should, let's try this, because there's nothing that we can do to change, his diagnosis, but hopefully kind of bring some awareness to what, you know, this disease is. Because we hear a lot about other diseases, and people know a lot about things like cancer, but people don't really know about muscular dystrophy as much as these other, more high-profile diseases. And so, you know, we felt that it was important to get people to become aware, mm-hmm. you know, about what this, you know, what this disease is, and how it really impacts people's lives. And so, I mean, we've been every year since then, we've just been, you know, involved in however, you know, we can.
Jose, in this situation here, in this time frame that we're talking about here, now he's been diagnosed, and now that you guys have teamed up with other parents and organizations here, talk to me a little bit about the transition now of getting into, well, now I'm a parent of a quote-unquote special needs child, which for some reason they're all lumped into the same group when it's really not all the same thing. They're all just kind of put into this package here. Talk to me about that transition for you as a father? Because now you have, you're always in a position where this is my wife, I have to take care of her. This is my son, I have to take care of him. But now we're adding on this extra scenario. Talk to me about what was going through your mind during this time period.
At first, it was very difficult to get used to, mm-hmm. but to get used to, because it's your own child.
Right.
You know, I've seen it with my nephews. Mm-hmm. And it was hurting them, but when it's your own child, it's a whole different...
Different
ball game.
Right, yeah.
After a while, you learn more from him and also from other people, families around you with their child that have the same disease. I mean, and, you know, like I said, it's difficult.
Right.
But then you start learning yourself how to be humble, and they help you to be humble with that. And then you start seeing everything else in a different light than regular people.
Right.
You know, I don't want to say that. But
for lack of a better term, yes.
Right. I understand what you mean. Yeah. It's still difficult, but we have to fight, keep fighting and keep making everything, you know, as normal as possible.
Yeah. One of the things that always stood out to me, obviously when I first met you guys, you know, the whole setup, and I'm appreciative that you know, the guys would take the time to even come to a wrestling show. But one of the things that always stuck out to me about Jason is if you talk to Jason, you have no clue that anything is really affecting him, because Jason always took me as the kind of person, very outgoing, very conversative. He would talk to us about the matches as soon as the show was over, mm-hmm. you know? And it always stuck out because from the outside, by the time that I had met you, which is a lot later than from when he was diagnosed, it just seemed like the norm. Like, it didn't seem from an outside person like anything was out of whack, like you guys were struggling with anything or that he was struggling with anything. Jason, you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
He's trying really hard not to do it on the mic. I appreciate it so much. But you've been with this disease for as long as you can remember, right?
Yeah.
Do you have any earlier memories of when you weren't, quote-unquote, diagnosed with anything? Or this is just something you've been dealing with for as long as you can remember?
I feel like it's something I've been dealing with for a long time.
And how do you feel as you've gotten older now? Are you adjusted to it? Are you still uncomfortable?
Still.
Still?
I'm still kind of uncomfortable.
Okay. All right. Has it deterred you? Let's say that we didn't have this accessibility issue. Let's say you could go to any wrestling show. Would you still be interested in attending wrestling shows or entertainment or movies or anything? Because I think movies also, right? Because you have to have like that open seating area for him to go to movies and stuff like that?
In the front of the movie theater. Well, now they have them in the back now.
Oh, okay.
But before it was way in the front.
Right. They used to be way in the front. Would you still be interested in going to these events?
I still would.
Okay. All right. I'm telling you guys, I'm gonna bust ass on this. Because he's not the only one. I've actually been to a few shows where I've had people who are there at the moment. But they tell me all the time, like, this is, it's fun to be here when we're here, but it's such a pain in the ass to both find a spot that does it, and then to get into the building and the accessibility and all that stuff. So you guys joined the MDA pretty much almost out of the chute here. Talk to me a little bit more about the MDA. Are they hands-on with you guys? Do they keep communication with you guys? How involved are they in the whole process?
I mean, we're still pretty much involved. I mean, Jason used to go to camp, but although, like, after the age of 17 was his last summer camp, because that was one of, like, the big highlights for Jason was going away for a week to the MDA camp. And because of that, he actually got to really know a lot of the people from MDA. And even when we go to the walks, it's kind of like a family reunion in a way, because like they basically saw Jason grow up.
Yeah.
Like they've known him since he was 4 years old. And so, and like you can see like how much they genuinely care, you know, about Jason. And so like for us, aside from like what their mission with the MDA is, but the fact that the way that they treat Jason and just like the other kids is like there are no words to really describe that, and I really feel like that is what keeps us coming back like every year and still like
and he was gone for a week
He was gone for, five days, yes.
5 days. Yeah. How weird were those 5 days?
Well, the first year was hard.
Yes, yeah. Very hard for me.
Yeah. Well, harder for Jose than it was for me, but...
Honesty is the best policy, yes, my friend. Because if you would have said anything different, she would have shot at you. Wait a second, Jose. Hold on.
I was very emotional.
Well, I'm assuming, for me, like, I don't like leaving him and the people, even if it's people that I trust and know. I feel weird because mine is still young, so I'm still adjusting to that separation part. But I'm assuming for you guys who are so hands-on with your son's daily life, for him to be in the care of someone else for that long had to be a super adjustment for you.
But I think, like, knowing that, like, how much that people genuinely care, because he's actually one of his camp counselors he's still in contact with.
Okay.
And that's so good. Like, for me, that just, again, the people volunteer their time to to be counselors at the MDA clinic, and so, like, they were some really amazing people, and for me, that was, like, the comfort that I needed. And Jason's also outspoken, so if something went wrong,
yeah,
Jason would not be afraid to
Jason will slap somebody, right? Jason,
yes.
You will slap on one of those, or you'll get your brother to beat him up, right, with those elbow drops.
Yeah. So that's one thing that I knew, like, I didn't have to worry about, because he can advocate for himself. And so that helped to bring me comfort. And also, you know, it's hard. You need a little bit of a break too, and just getting that emotional and mental break, you know, is important so that we can be the best parents that we can for him. So, like, we need some self-care so that we can give him care as well.
One of the questions that I had in my head leading toward the end of this is, has it gotten any easier over time? But I can tell by the emotion sitting in front of you that maybe it's a little bit more routine, but not easier, is it? It hasn't gotten really any easier for you guys.
No, and as, you know, like, his, like, as his disease progresses, there are different concerns. So, right, you know, and there are different moments. So just when, you know, like, right now, I think we're at a pretty good place. Right. But because he's doing pretty well, like, health-wise, and so, you know, in the previous time, like, you know, because of muscular dystrophy, some of the things that happen are, you know, muscle weakness, but also in the heart. And so...
A lot of cardiac issues there.
Yeah, so actually 2 years ago, he was diagnosed with asymptomatic heart failure. So because of that, he's on a regimen of medication. But again, this also speaks to, like, all of the research that has been, you know, made with muscular dystrophy and how they see, like, being very proactive with medication, how that's very beneficial. So because of that, like, his numbers have improved. And so, you know, we go through moments. So there are some, you know, good moments where things are okay. And then there's different challenges just, you know, that come along with it. And so, like, this year, you know, he's in his second year of college, and, you know.
Nice.
So yeah.
College is kicking my ass too, buddy. Trust me.
Super proud of him.
And for me, absolutely, that's also, like, there's so many people that complain about all the littlest things and say why they can't go to college and make all of these
absolutely
excuses.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, I'm so proud that he doesn't let anything, you know, that happens stop him from doing that.
You sure you don't want to be a wrestler? That sounds like determination. How is school going for you? Do you find that it's something that's is it doable?
It's kind of different.
It's very different, right? I'm an adult going through it. It's different for me. Deadlines. I don't do well with deadlines. Yeah. I got one due on Monday, too. So.
And it's different coming from graduating from my high school where most of the students were disabled as well. That's
okay.
Kind of a different transition for me.
Do you have a few of those in school with you now in college? Or not many?
I don't see some. I seen them, like, once in a while, but not a lot.
Okay. And do you have a good relationship with your teachers?
I mean, they seem to, some of them seem to be a little understanding.
Well, don't say the name of the school on air, then. That's the case. Yeah, I have a few problems with my professors, too, so don't worry about it. You're not the only one that gets that. It's a professor thing, trust me. But this is a kind of a full circle question here, but everything you guys have gone through together with your son and with your family as a whole, you guys in particular have been married for quite a while. How long have you guys been married?
Jose, answer that question.
20 years.
We've 20 been married. Years yes. You've been married. You guys got us beat by four, damn it. you guys have an amazing family. You just do.
Thank
it's
you.
Always something that stuck out. And you guys have been together for so long, and you guys have a marriage that's been put, obviously, through so many trials. Mm. Here we are. You guys got together in 1999. It's 2019. What's the status? We're still good, right?
Yeah.
We actually have been together since 1990.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay, right. Yeah. So marriage was 1999. Right. Okay, yeah. So 1999. You guys went through three decades together, practically.
Yes.
The music has changed so much over the time.
And the hairstyles.
And the hairstyles.
Yeah, you guys throw a lot of Throwback Thursday pictures up where I'm like, okay, that's old school NYC right there. It's good, though. It's so awesome. You guys always, like, my wife and I have been together for a long time. So a lot of the questions that we get, I'm sure you guys get, which is the whole how do you make it work, the whole how do you guys fight but not break it off type deal. There's so many people out there right now that feel like as soon as the rubber hits the road and there's a collision, that the automatic assumption is, well, I can't do this. So a little bit, just how do you guys seem to make that chemistry work despite the fact of so many, you know, trials and tribulations that you have to go through? Not everything, I'm sure, is low. There's a lot of highs as well, but how do you guys balance that out in the household? It looks like they're still figuring it out.
No, I have my answer already.
Load it up. Go ahead.
Well, we just don't give up.
Don't give up.
You fight. Just don't give up. Always apologize. Even if it's like 2 or 3 days later, you still apologize. And you know, you just got to keep fighting for it. I mean.
Working towards it.
Yes. We've been through it.
I tell people all the time, it's like we fight the same way you do. We just don't leave when it's over. Yeah, that's the only difference between me and you.
We've been through hell and back.
Yeah.
And we're still fighting.
And as a testament, guys, I went out on a quote-unquote husband-wife date with my wife to an 80s concert. And who do I find at the 80s concert?
Us.
With these two right here, also doing the husband-wife date at the same place. So for those of you who were attacking me on my musical choice, I'm with Familia right
yes.
now. Because we were in there with the 80s freestyle, chilling, having a few beverages. I don't know if you knew. I had the beverages. I don't know what they did. But... you guys always look like, you know, again, third party. Like, it's always an inspiration for me to see two people who I'm sure have their differences from time to time, but it always stays in the house. And then, like, for people like me who see you guys, it's like, I just see a happy family. You know, that's all we ever see. And it's always one of the things that stood out, which is why, like, I say fan because that's how the relationship started between us. But I think it's evolved into a form, some form of friendship, and I always try to stay up on what's going on with Jason and things like that, and share the information and try to get people invested in what's going on with that. Talk to me a little bit about this walk. When is this walk going down? It's October 19th,
it's
correct?
October 19th at 9 a.m. It's at the Queens Botanical Garden.
Okay. All right, Queens
and
Botanical
Garden. Actually, this year it's a Halloween theme, so they're
I did see that, and yes, absolutely.
So they're doing like trick or treat for the kids, and it's, you know, it's really fun. It's really not about the actual walking. It's not like this rigorous walk, but it's really a chance to like see other families who are affected by muscular dystrophy.
Right.
And like I said before, it's kind of like a family reunion. Mm. So I know that oftentimes there are kids that, well, they're not kids anymore, young men who went
adults.
To camp with Jason, that they get a chance to see each other again.
Right.
And so, you know, there's music. It's usually a lot of fun, but it's also a way to remember, you know, people that we've lost. So they usually have like a memorial section to remember the people who've lost their battle.
Right.
And so, it's always a lot of fun. It's very high spirits. It isn't like trying to be somber, but it's kind of a mix of
it's Halloween themed, so there's going to be a lot of spirit.
Ba-dum-boats. That, for everyone who's been waiting to figure out what I've been saying about charismatic, there you go, folks. You just got it right there. He's quick. I also wanted to do this episode as, because you guys mentioned earlier that you guys were a little taken aback when you heard about the diagnosis, because you had some familiarity, you kind of knew what was coming, which made it kind of worse. When you don't know, when there's an unknown, you're kind of like, you're nervous.
Right.
But when you kind of already see it, it's like having a family member who went through cancer and now you have the diagnosis. You're a little bit more, your emotions are different than those who are kind of in the dark as to what that could even be. You kind of foresee what's happening. You guys, I don't know if you will agree, you won't because of how you felt, but it seems to me that you guys handled it well because you were able to adapt and roll and you got a great son out of the whole deal. I wanted to do an episode like this because I don't know if everyone else in that position would handle it the same. I don't know if a parent right now, who maybe even half the age you were when you found out about Jason, who is experiencing this from age one or age two or whatever the case may be, who may not have the support system that you guys had because you had family members who'd been through this before. For anybody out there who's listening to this, who may encounter something like this, there is a community out there for you to take interest in and to communicate with. I think October 19th is not just great for the kids who we know have it, and not just great for the children or the adults that we may have lost while they had it, but I think it's a third. There's a third thing here, and that's an opportunity for parents who either may have just found out or may be on the fence of finding out, and they're nervous and they're scared and they don't know the answers to their questions, they don't know who to speak to, they don't know where to go. October 19th, you have a place that you can go right now to get all of that. And you can get it at the Queens Botanical Gardens at 9 a.m. on October 19th. I'm sure the Torres family will be there in full throttle. Will you all be dressed in Halloween apparel for this event?
Well, right now we're considering as going
Jose's smile right now is
we're going
a thousand
as,
miles wow.
We're thinking of going as bikers. Our team name is Jason's Hope.
Okay.
And so we're going to have like... you know, I had some tattoos made of Jason's Hope logo.
Kind of funny that we're being a biker gang.
Yeah,
considering
we're
going to
be a biker gang. Jason has his leather.
Well, you about that life. You on your wheels on
he
a time.
He already has his wheels, so he has his leather vest all ready to go.
Nice.
And so that is what we're going as Jason's gang.
I already had the chopper and everything.
Yeah, there you go. He's got the chopper ready. Are you ready to be Big Bad Biker Dan over here?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that why you were smiling?
Yes.
Visions of YMCA jumping in your head?
Yes, actually.
Very Village People-esque costume coming our way. I want this episode to hopefully either open some eyes to the situation itself, possibly some awareness toward the walk itself. But my main goal for all this, as I explained earlier, is for anybody out there who's wondering, who's on the fence, please don't feel like you're alone in this situation. There's parents, there's children, there's communities, there's physicians that are dedicated to this cause. Also, you had made mention of the walk and possible donations.
Yes.
Where would they be able to go? Does the MDA have a website for this?
Yes, they do. If you go onto the MDA Muscle Walk and you click on New York, you'll see the New York chapter's walk. And if you know, our team, as I said, our team is Jason's Hope. And so we are on the website as well. So if you're interested in, you can donate straight to the MDA, or if you want to donate to our team, it's Jason's Hope, but Jason with a Y. And
yes,
so
J-A-Y-S-O-N.
So it's Jason's Hope is the name of our team.
Jason, before we get out of here, if you were to be a wrestler, what would your wrestling name be?
Oh, my. I didn't think about that. Well, usually when I play my wrestling games, I just put my two initials.
JT Hope.
That's your name. See, I'm already booking. Yeah, JT Hope. The ultimate baby face who karate chops professors right in the throat like that. Boom. Tomahawk chop to the collarbone. That'd be the big move off the top. The big Ricky Steamboat. Like that. And off the top. Thank you guys so much again for inviting me into your home.
Thank you.
All that noise you guys heard in the background was the children's playing. Don't worry about that. But I congratulate you on everything that you guys have done so far, not just with that situation, but again, I'm a fan of the marriage as well because I've been married a long time, so I know exactly what you guys are talking about there. So congratulations on anything. You have a beautiful family. Thanks for inviting me into your home.
Thank you.
I hope you guys have a great turnout for October 19th.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. No problem. Guys, again, you guys can check out the episodes every Saturday, 9 p.m., ajlum.podbean.com. I'd push the shirt at this point, but who really cares at this point? We just went through this whole thing. I'm not going to push that shirt. But if you were interested, all you have to do is go to prowrestlingtees.com/ajlum. And thank you guys again.
Thank you.
100 episodes, now pay him.
And make sure that you buy my husband's t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/AJOUM. Please, he needs this.
Listen to my daddy's show. He's the best, so I don't know.